Father, bless these words to our hearts, in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Matthew 21. In verse 22, whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. This is a huge promise from God. Some people abuse this promise. Some people don't trust this promise. Whatever you ask in prayer, if you believe, you will receive it. We often think to ourselves when we pray, and we don't at least immediately receive our answers to prayer, does this actually work? And the tendency is to think, maybe I don't have enough faith, because it said if I believe, I'll receive it, and I didn't receive it, so maybe I didn't believe. That's a mistake. A lot of people enter into that mistake, but it is a mistake, and it's a very frustrating mistake. Because then they'll constantly be trying to work up a sense of believing, a sense of faith, without actually ever accomplishing what they desire, which is having real faith in prayer. As you pray in faith. Yes, that is true. But then sometimes people do that and they don't receive what they want. So the question then is, why doesn't this always seem to work? I asked, I believed, but I didn't receive. And the answer to that question is because you didn't understand what it meant to believe. You asked, yes, and that's great. But that believing part is what tricked you. You thought because you believed you would get what you had asked, that you would get what you had asked. You said, God, I believe you'll give this to me, whatever it is. And it didn't come. And you said, but God, I believed that you would give this to me. And now I'm kind of confused and a little bit frustrated. And I don't know if I can trust God now to give me what I asked, because I believed and I didn't get it, and he said if I believed, I would. That's really not how it works. In James 1:6, when we ask in faith without doubting, because whoever doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind, let not that man suppose he'll receive anything from God. And so the tendency of people is, did I doubt? I didn't receive. Did I doubt? I know if I doubt, I won't receive. So they get this idea that they need faith, and then they start to build faith in their faith. In reality, that's not faith. Faith is completely different. But because people don't sometimes realize what the nature of faith is, this becomes a very confusing issue for them. There is a way to pray, and God will always respond. So what we want to look at is prayer that works. We want to pray prayer that works. Because prayer does work. I know of people who prayed and a dead person rose. That's not that unusual. It's not common, but it's not unusual either. I know of people who were blind and people prayed and they got their sight back because God answered them. We've seen stuff like that in our own church. We prayed for a person, a young woman who was going to die because she had a severe infection in her lungs that no one could survive. We prayed and the infection went away, which never happened. So prayer really does work. I've prayed many a time when I didn't have what I needed that God would give it to me, and every time I received it from God. Prayer really works. Why? Because God really does listen. He's there. He's listening. He's interested. He cares about you, and it works. So how do I get into this prayer that works? Because a lot of times we're believing, but it doesn't appear to work. In Proverbs 8:29, one who turns away his ear from hearing the word of God, even his prayer is an abomination. We don't really realize this. But if I have a prayer that is not in a faith that has a correct source, not only will my prayer not be heard, my prayer is sin. That can be a shocking idea to some people, that prayer could actually be sin. Well, it is, sometimes. Sometimes if I already know the will of God and I pray, God, what is your will? That's sin, because I already know the will of God. Sometimes when the Word of God tells us very clearly what we're supposed to do, if we pray, should I do this? That's actually sin. For example, God, should I find a church? Should I go to the church where you have called me? Should I be there? Should I be faithful? Some people pray that way. Should I go? When the Word of God already tells us, gather together much more as you see the day approaching. That kind of a prayer is sin because it's not a faith response to what God has already told us. So there are some prayers that are sin. Have you ever heard a prayer like this? Or somebody say something like this? God, I need you to do this, but really, I know that you're not going to. And they tell you, you know, I prayed for it, but I knew God wasn't going to do it. That was not a prayer of faith. That was sin. When I pray outside of faith, because in Romans 14:23, whatever is not of faith is sin, then my prayer is actually an activity of sin. No wonder I don't get an answer. Well, the blood of Christ removes all sin. God doesn't answer it because God doesn't hear it, because the blood of Christ removes it. It doesn't even get to the throne because it was sin. In John 15:7, if you abide in me, and that, of course, in 1 John 4:16 is if you abide in the love of God. To abide is to remain, to keep yourself in it. If you keep yourself, if you remain in the love of God, how do I do that? In Jude 21, I look for mercy. In everything, I look either to receive mercy or to give mercy, one or the other. If something happens to me, I look to receive mercy. If somebody does something, I look for opportunities to give mercy. If you keep yourself in the love of God, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, and this is a biggie, and my words abide in you, that means you have to receive the word of God if the word of God is going to abide in you. You will ask what you desire, and it will be done for you. When we say to God, God, I expected, I trusted you to give me something, it didn't come about, I don't know if I can trust you now, or I don't know if you answer prayer, or why doesn't this seem to work for me? There's your answer. Something about me either did not keep myself in the love of God, or the Word of God in some area of my life related to what I was praying, the Word of God was not abiding in me. I didn't have it as my frame of reference. I didn't have it as the foundation of my thought life. Faith, in Romans 10:17, comes by hearing. I need the Word of God to abide in me in order to have faith. Faith is basically, because of Romans 10:17, nothing more than thinking with God. Nothing less either. People will point to Hebrews 11, and of course Hebrews 11 is absolutely accurate, that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the assurance of things not seen. Well, that's fine. It's true, obviously. But how do I get there where I can have that conviction and that substance and that assurance and that confidence in something I don't see? because I think with the mind of God. I think with the Word of God. I don't need to be able to see something if I'm thinking with the Word of God as the foundation of my thoughts. But when the Word of God is the foundation of my thoughts, that's the definition of faith. And so because I have the Word of God as the foundation of my thoughts, I have faith in asking my prayers, not because, oh God, I'm sure you're going to give me that car, or I'm sure you're going to give me that whatever it is that you need. No, that's not what it's talking about. If I have the Word of God as the foundation of my thoughts, then I'm thinking with the mind of Christ as I am praying. I'm thinking God's thoughts as I pray. And then it doesn't simply become a wish list like you would send to Santa Claus. It becomes a real fellowship and a communion and a conversation with God. There's nothing wrong in telling God what I desire, if it's a car or whatever else. That's perfectly fine. But the key to it is that I'm thinking with the mind of God. I have the Word of God as my frame of reference. I have God's thoughts. I have God's opinions. I have God's standards. I know the thoughts of God because I have the Word of God and it abides in me. And then also I keep myself in the love of God, which in Galatians 5:6 is what gives energy, life to my faith. Faith without the love of God is a wishful thought. But faith with the love of God makes my faith not a thought, but a relationship. Because now I have the heart of the one that I'm talking to, and we're sharing that heart one toward another. I have the mind of the one that I'm talking to, and we're sharing that mind one toward another. We have a conversation. And God is looking for that conversation, that relationship. God is looking for that interaction with us. When I have the mind of Christ, I don't need to worry about what should I pray for. I simply think with the mind of Christ and I know what needs to be prayed. And it's not always pray for something. Often it's simply fellowship with someone. And that, of course, is Christ. So when I pray through the mind of God. I don't pray with my natural thinking, and my natural thinking realizes, boy, I could sure use a car. And God, you said if I ask, you give it, so I'm believing you for it, God, I need a car. And there's nothing wrong with that per se, except, where's your mind? Is your mind the mind of Christ? Is it filled with content from the Word of God? Or is your mind the natural mind, the carnal mind, the mind that we have apart from God, and that is nothing more than full of sin? And so where's your mind? Are you praying with the mind of God, or are you praying with a fallen, sinful mind? When you have the mind of Christ, you are always praying in faith. And then there will be an answer to your prayers. You can't have the mind of Christ without receiving the mind of Christ. And so we listen to our pastor, we read the Word of God, we fellowship, we pray. We listen to the Holy Spirit as we're reading or as we're listening to church, and He speaks to our hearts about what is being said or about the passage that we have just read. It's very common. I've seen this 1,000 times. People have said to me after a message, you were talking about me in that message, weren't you? Sometimes people want to know, who told you? His name is Holy Spirit. That's who told me. And He didn't tell me about you. He gave me the words to speak. It's very normal. It happens all the time. What it really means is that the person is being spirit taught. And often it does happen to people. They hear a message and pastor was talking to me. I know he was talking to me. No, pastor wasn't. The Holy Spirit was. You got it half right. The Holy Spirit was talking to you. And that's why it seems that way. It's like that for every believer who's receiving the Word of God with humility of heart. If I receive the Word of God with humility of heart, then I will receive from the Holy Spirit. I may receive something totally different than what you have received, but I will receive of the Holy Spirit. And hopefully you have received of the Holy Spirit. And depending on the need and the person, the Holy Spirit will give what's needed. Same message, different communication. I listen to the Word of God, and it gives me the mind of Christ. And then because I have the mind of Christ, I receive answer to prayer. Because it's essentially God thinking. God pondering something. And God acts on what He thinks. Remember, in 1 Corinthians 12:27, you really are the body of Christ. In 1 Corinthians 2:16, who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? How do I, apart from the Word of God, know what the mind of God is so that I could say to him, God, it would really be great if you could do this. That's not even remotely possible. God's ways and thoughts are so much higher than my ways and thoughts. But He gives me His mind. There it continues. But we have the mind of Christ. So I don't have to think with a natural approach. What does God need to do? It's a really weird thought if you think about it. But sometimes we think that way. What does God need to do? Who knows the mind of God that he should instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Why? Because we have the Word of God to give us the mind of Christ. We don't even need to instruct him. We fellowship with him because we have a relationship with him through the Word of God and the love of God and the Holy Spirit bringing us together. And then I'm simply thinking. And as I think toward my head, just like everybody else does. If my hand feels something, my head receives it. And God responds. And there's prayer. Prayer is so simple. Ask Him what you will. Don't hesitate. But only with the mind of Christ can we bring a right request to God. But ask Him what you will. But as you're asking, make sure that you are consistently and constantly building up the mind of Christ inside of you. That you are constantly keeping yourself in the love of God. You're constantly looking to receive or to give mercy as the situation demands. But ask Him what you will. And think with the mind of Christ as you ask. God gives 8,000, roughly 793 promises. He's got a promise to cover pretty much everything. Grab a hold of the promises of God. And when you come to God, remind Him what He promised. Because every promise of God is yes and so be it. God, will you do what you promised? And God said, yes. Let that come to pass. What I promised will come to pass. So be it. God, you promised that you would take care of all my needs. This is my need. Will you take care of it? Well, there's a promise for that. And God says, of course I'll take care of it. I promised you that I would take care of it. Yes, I will take care of it. God, I need money. Will you give me the money that I need? Yes, I will give you the money. I told you I would take care of all your needs. God, I want a big fat pickup truck and I want it to be of this color and this brand and all that. Will you give it to me? If you need it, then sure. But if you wanted to spoil yourself, if you want it just because it's cool, then first get the mind of Christ before you ask me. And once you have the mind of Christ, once you are thinking with the thoughts of God, ask me whatever you desire. You see, one of the things about the thoughts of God, it gives me God's desires. Now, that doesn't mean that God's going to ignore my desires. In Ephesians 3:20, he goes above and beyond anything I can ask or think toward me, for me. So he can desire far more for me than I can desire for myself. So that's not in any way saying that you can't ask God for something you desire. What it is saying is ask him as you are thinking with the mind of God. Because that will not only produce the right prayer results that you're hoping for, but also it'll give you God's desires for you. And then he'll give you whatever you desire, if you believe. Amen? If you don't know that you're going to go to heaven when you die, pray in your heart, Lord Jesus, I accept you as my Savior. I accept your gift of mercy and what you have done on the cross. Save my soul. Take me to heaven when I die and give me a relationship with you now as you come into my heart and live.